Judy Carmichael. As part of Jazz Inspired's 20th anniversary this year, we're revisiting some of my favorite conversations. We talk about inspiration on this show, so I thought it would be fun to listen to my 2003 conversation with Ava Astaire McKenzie, the daughter of one of my early inspirations, her father, Fred Astaire. Ava and I met shortly before this taping when we were both lecturing on a QE2 crossing from England to New York. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. You grew up with such glamorous surroundings in terms of living with someone who was very successful entertaining. So did that sort of entice you into thinking that it would be something that would be fun, or did it make you more realistic about what it's really like to be out there doing it?
Not really. My father's life as a performer, well, it was pretty interesting, of course, but I wasn't all that aware. I mean, for a long time, I thought that everybody's father got up at 4 a.m. and went to a studio and put makeup on and did things.
Of course.
But he worked awfully hard. And I don't know, the thing that enticed me for a few minutes is I saw myself on a television show with him. I thought, gee, that looked pretty good. Maybe I'd like to do that. And that was all. I mean, that was really
When was
it.
That? Was that?
Oh, that was in London in the early, in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
A show, the Michael Parkinson show, which
right.
isn't really known over here, I don't think.
But it was fun. That looked like that would be fun. I've always wondered about that because people on the outside only see the glamorous aspect. Mm. I, of course, being a musician, know all the work.
You know how hard it is.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I mean, it really is a lot of hard work, especially the musical stuff.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if it happens with you if you're doing a recording, but you have to do them over and over again if you're, you must have to.
Well, for me, it's the practice before the session, which is very much, I think, how I've read that your dad worked.
Of course, the same
thing.
It's
that rehearse, so that you can do the take that
or
seems
multiple takes,
but seems completely unrehearsed and just effortless. That's what you want to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it seems
that is
like that.
Exactly what you're striving for.
Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. You think the laugh's on me? They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me, wanting you. Said I was reaching for the moon. But all you came through, now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now? But people from Missouri never incensed me. Oh, I wasn't a bit concerned, for from history I had learned how many, many times the worm had turned. They all laughed at Rockefeller Center, now they're fighting to get in. They all laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin. They all laughed at Fulton and his steamboat, Hershey and his chocolate bar. Ford and his Lizzie kept the laughers busy. That's how people are. They laughed at me, wanting you. Said it would be hello, goodbye. But all you came through, now they're eating humble pie. They all said we'd never get together. Darling, let's take a bow. For ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? And what a last laugh. Who's got the last laugh now?
Well, you said that it seemed normal to you, or that everybody's dad went off and did this. But you were also surrounded by other musicians, great composers, all these different things that, for someone like me, is a fantasy, of course. When did you realize? Do you remember how old you were, or was there a time that you thought, wow?
I don't really know. I think gradually I began to realize that we were different from a lot of other families. My mother died when I was 12, and from that time on, I more or less became my father's companion for social events and traveling and all of that. That's probably more the realization came then. By the way, I remember distinctly one time when Daddy and I, it maybe happened more than once, walking through an airport, and I was all of 14, 15, and people would say, "Hi, Fred. Hi, Ginger."
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, it shows you how truly unobservant people are.
Oh, I mean,
it's shocking.
Oh, dear.
That's very funny.
It is. It is.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Turn. One, two, three. Turn. Let's try it again. Get it. All right. One, two, three. One, two, three. Turn. One, two.
I'm getting it.
Yes. Again. One, two, three, one, two, three. Turn. One, two, three, one, two, three. Now you've got it. I can't teach you anything.
Please, teacher, teach me something. Nice, teacher, teach me something. I'm as awkward as a camel. That's not the worst. My 2 feet haven't met yet, but I'll be the teacher's pet yet, 'cause I'm going to learn to dance on verse.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. When my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
I'll get some self-assurance if your endurance is great. I'll learn by easy stages if you're courageous and wait. To feel the strength I want to, I must hang on to your hand. Maybe by the time I'm 50, I'll get up and do a nifty.
All right, I'll show you again. Now remember, 3 steps to the left, 3 steps to the right.
That's the right.
And turn.
Right.
Right. One, two, three. One, two, three.
I know,
one,
I'm
two,
fine.
Three.
Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
Listen, no one could teach you to dance in a million years. Take my advice and save your money.
Now, how did you say that last step went? Yes. Shall we try it right through?
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers on Pick Yourself Up from the 1936 soundtrack recording of Swing Time. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is Fred's daughter, author Ava Astaire McKenzie. You lecture, and you do this a lot, and you do these presentations, which I've seen you do and been delighted in. Was that something that was easy for you to do? Were you a natural? Was it easy to walk out on stage, or were you shy about that?
It's easier now, a few years later. The first time, both my husband and I were on Crystal cruises, and it was the first time I'd actually got up and talked to an audience for more than 4 or 5 minutes. And it was a very bumpy ride at the time, and poor Richard was feeling absolutely terrible. And I got through it better than I thought I would. Richard now doesn't really do it very much anymore because he doesn't like to. But from then on, it became easier. And I really can thank the ships for my being able to get up on a stage. Now, 3 years ago, I did a tribute to my father at the London Palladium, and I really wasn't nervous about that. But without having done it on the ships, I wouldn't have been able to have done the Palladium.
And you weren't nervous at all?
I don't know why, but I was awfully glad it was over, but I wasn't really nervous.
That's fabulous, yeah, because I know personally how hard it is not to be nervous.
And I get nervous thinking about it afterwards.
Well, that was a huge event.
And it was. I mean, 2,200 people. And I was the, what we call in England, compere, the MC sort of thing. I did have a script I could look at, and I had to put my glasses on every time I wanted to read it. But then that helped too. That, you know, being able to do something with your hands put me a little more at ease. Anyhow, I didn't have a terrible time doing it. So.
And you were also interviewing people. You were talking about things,
so
it wasn't just introducing the next person. It was very involved.
Interviewing people. Luckily, they knew pretty much what they wanted to say. I mean, it would have been hard for me to have done what you're doing, just to say, did you do this or did you do that? But of course, it was all in reference to their work with my father. So And I should probably mention who the people were, because we had a big lineup. It was Sid Charisse and Jane Powell and Ann Miller and Robert Wagner and Michael Parkinson again, and Tony Martin was on as well, and Elmer Bernstein, and I think that's it. It was a good lineup.
How could you believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar all my life?
You've had that reputation since you was a youth.
You must have been insane to think I'd tell you the truth.
How could I believe you when you said we'd marry?
Why, you know I'd rather hang than have a wife. I know I said I'd make you mine.
Now wouldn't you know that I would go for that old line?
How could you believe me when I said I love you, when you know I've been a liar?
You sure have been a liar.
A double-crossing liar.
A double-crossing liar.
All my doggone cheating lies.
You said you would love me long and never would do me wrong, and faithful you'd always be.
Me? Why, baby, you must be loony to trust a lower than low two-timer like me.
You said I'd have everything, a beautiful diamond ring, a bungalow by the sea.
You're really naive to ever believe a full of baloney phony like me.
What about the time you went to Indiana?
I was lying, I was down in Alabama.
You said you had some business you had to complete.
What I was doing, I would be a cat to repeat.
What about the evenings you was with your mother?
I was romping with another honey lamb.
To think you swore our love was real.
Baby, leave us, not forget that I'm a heel.
You when you said you love me.
Why, you know I've been a liar.
A good-for-nothing liar.
Oh, my good-for-nothing lie.
A 1951 soundtrack recording of Fred Astaire and Jane Powell from Royal Wedding. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is Fred's daughter, author Ava Astaire McKenzie. As part of the 20th anniversary of Jazz Inspired, we're revisiting some of my favorite interviews. Today's with Ava Astaire McKenzie, whom I met when we were both lecturing on a crossing on QE2 from England to New York City.
We recorded this conversation in New York City in 2003. I mentioned to Ava that I think of the music in her father's films as jazz.
So I'm so glad to hear that.
And that was what it was. And because then later, much later, I came to Count Basie and people like that, and early Count Basie and what he was doing at that same time that I was watching some of those early Fred Astaire movies. Now, for you, growing up with your father, did he talk about that era being jazz? Did he refer to that as himself as being jazz influenced? You know what I'm asking.
Well, I don't know that he did, but my memory of my early life is that we were surrounded by jazz, so it had to be. And of course, I knew Basie. He was on my father's first television show, I think it was the first one, and I actually had the job of driving him around, so I got to know him pretty well. And in fact, thank goodness, because I went shortly after that, I was about 18, to a debutante party where I knew no one. It was here on the East Coast. I knew absolutely no one, but they had hired Count and the band for the entertainment, and I spent the entire evening sitting on the piano bench and hanging out with the band. Actually, I had a good time, but I wasn't doing the debutante things.
Oh, that's funny. Oh.
Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is author Ava Astaire McKenzie.
I know when I go to a party, the last thing I want to do is sit down and play the piano.
Oh, God, yes.
Now, did your dad ever go to a dance with you? I would think he would not want to casually dance.
He didn't like casually ballroom dancing with anybody, and he, of course, was always called upon to do it. I mean, he had to do it with the hostess if it was a big party. But a story I've told so many times, back to debutante, but fighting it tooth and nail, I was a debutante in Los Angeles, and my father thought my mother would have wanted me to do it, so we did it. And the big thing of the night is the father and daughter waltz, and everybody waltzed. We waltzed, but everybody went one way and we went the other. And not trying to call, of course, calling all the attention we were trying not to have on us.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can see it today. Oh, gosh.
That's very funny. Was it funny at the time?
I don't remember. I remember the incident. I don't remember our reaction at all. I think somewhere somebody said, oh, my God.
That's very funny. That's very funny. Well, tell me about your cookbook, which I think is absolutely delightful. And that's another creative aspect of your life. The whole book, for me, well, it reflects you so much. I just want to step into that world.
Oh, thank you.
It's so beautiful.
It's called At Home in Ireland, Cooking and Entertaining with Ava Astaire McKenzie. And as you know, but not everybody knows, we live mostly in Ireland. So it's really things that I do in Ireland. I have a big vegetable garden. It's not Irish cooking. It's things that I do in Ireland. And it has loads of photographs, which you're talking about wanting to step into it. And I took all those photographs myself, except the ones of me, but and it apparently is still available on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you find it on every shelf in every bookstore, except around St. Patrick's Day. Apparently, it gets into displays around then sometimes.
but it is available.
It is.
It's absolutely wonderful, and that had to be a great project for you. What prompted that?
Oh, my husband browbeat me into it, because he wrote a book as well, and his was ready to go way before somebody said, I should do one too. And his is called Turn Left at the Black Cow, One Family's Journey from Beverly Hills to Ireland. And it's a story of our doing exactly that, moving from Beverly Hills to Ireland. But it was his fault. He said, you just do that. Do it.
We have him to thank for that, because it's beautiful. So. It's absolutely beautiful.
As a little girl, I knew Cole Porter,
mm-hmm.
really, as well as a 12-year-old to 14-year-old or more, because Daddy took me to dinner at Cole's house about once a month.
No.
And Irving Berlin, of course, I knew, but not quite the same way, because
mm-hmm.
There were, you know, long times with Cole.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of the warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. Yes, I've got you under my skin.
We'll be right back.
Dinah Washington on the Cole Porter tune, I've Got You Under My Skin. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. Further support is provided by East Hampton Indoor Tennis, 8 indoor and 20 outdoor courts in a quiet, beautiful park-like setting. Visit ehit.ws for more information. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to podcasts of Jazz Inspired wherever you get your podcasts, and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. Although we broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production, not funded by NPR. We're funded primarily by your donations, so please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in. No gift is too small. 2020 marks our 20th year on air. Please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. Today we're revisiting my 2003 conversation with author Ava Stair McKenzie as part of our 20th anniversary celebration with some of our favorite jazz-inspired interviews. Ava went to many of her father's recording sessions and loved meeting the great composers and jazz musicians that he knew. One she especially loved was the last session Fred did with Bing Crosby.
In London in, I think it was 1971, for an album that was then called How Lucky Can You Get? And I think it was re-released as A Couple of Song and Dance Men. And I was there for a lot of... That's a great album. I just love it. It's on EMI, mm-hmm. I think.
So many people don't refer to your dad or to Bing Crosby as jazz people, which is how I always think of them.
I'm so glad. I actually, until just this minute, I hadn't thought of Bing that much, but when you listen to, there's a lot of beat in there.
Well, and he was scat singing early on with
course,
the Rhythm Boys and all of that,
yeah.
And was a big fan of jazz, big friend of Louis Armstrong, and was doing things that other people weren't doing.
Well, I ain't lazy. I'm just blessed with a lack of ambition, that's all.
What do you mean you ain't lazy? Why is it then that every time I stop by your ranch, I can never find you?
Oh, that isn't a ranch, Daddy.
No?
No. I just raised a few fryers on the thing.
And you sure know how to fry them, too. That's if I ever can find you home.
But how come you can't find me?
I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How do you know?
There's a sign upon your door. Gone fishing.
All real gone, Eddie.
Real gone. You ain't working anymore.
Well, it could be, you know.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim hoeing ain't no fun.
I can prove it, though.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing by a shady, wady pool.
Shangri-La. Really La.
I'm wishing.
That's what I mean.
I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club, Daddy.
On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing,
yeah.
I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well,
you
know I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You wasn't tied up, your dog. You just playing old gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Well, don't blab it around, Pops. Keep it shady.
Gone fishing.
Got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got a piece of Gary.
Because you...
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
Don't give a darn.
I give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just haven't seen too long.
Well, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
Old Cindy Lou.
Gone fishing. Please ain't biting at your hide.
Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross. We gone fishing instead of just a wishing.
Bad, 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 bad. Oh, yeah.
Since we've been here in the States for a few weeks, it seems really different when you walk into a lot of shops than last year. They're playing standards and swingy kind of things and vocalists. And is that it's a new trend?
Yes. Yeah. And it's fascinating to see what's happened for me. Now, of course, these are my ears being a jazz musician to see who's successful to me. I do say that and who isn't because some of them that are unlikely that you would think would not have a feel for this. Like Tony Bennett's done these duet projects. And I'm fascinated with the people that it really works. He does a wonderful duet with Sheryl Crow.
Good morning, honey. You old gloomy sigh. Good morning, honey. Thought we said goodbye last night. Tossed and turned until it seemed you had gone, but here you are with the dawn.
Wish I'd forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I start by saying to you, good morning, heartache, what's new? Those Monday blues, straight through Sunday blues.
Good morning, heartache. Here we go again.
Good morning, heartache. You're the one who knew me when. Morning, heartache, sit down.
Sit down.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm talking with Ava Astaire McKenzie. One of her favorite singers is Tony Bennett.
He had not a hit, but he recorded one of the songs that Daddy wrote called Life is Beautiful, which was one of the things that pleased Daddy more than anything in his life, because he was always sorry that he wasn't a really successful songwriter. And he had a few things that did all right, but when Tony decided to do that, that was a big moment. He was really happy.
Aww.
Yes.
Well, I love those things because I think Tony Bennett's another example. I've read that one of his big influences, what he says is one of his big influences, was Art Tatum.
Ah.
And people would not necessarily, some people would not necessarily think of Tony Bennett as a jazz influenced singer. I do.
Yeah.
But they put these definitions on these people and make them very narrow. But yes, there is quite a trend. Everybody's doing these. Rod Stewart has a CD.
I know,
someone
just gave it to us.
Standards.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yes.
That's just great.
So what do you listen to now when you put on music?
One of my favorite, for way back, and all I have is a recording that a friend in London gave me of Jack Teagarden. I do listen to that. What else?
Were those kind of things being played in the house when you were growing up? I mean, would
I
your dad?
I don't know where the Jack Teagarden thing came from. I must have heard it somewhere. I think maybe from my friend Charlie Cochran, who I'm in town to hear play at Danny's, who was under contract to my father's record company and has done quite a several albums. He has an. I wish I could say what his most recent one is. It's something Charles Cochran, but I listen to Charlie a lot. Oh, and I'll tell you who else albums of I don't have on tape. They're all albums, so I have to get the turntable out, is Mark Murphy.
Mm.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring, where my heart can go a journey over the shadows and the rain to a blossom covered lane? And in the night, fantastic music, faint as a will-o'-the-wisp, crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy, serenading the moon. Skylark, I don't know if you can find these
those things. But my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there? You don't know what love is until you've learned the meaning of the blues, until you've loved a love you. Love is. You don't know how lips hurt until you've kissed and had to pay the cost. Until you've flipped your heart and you've lost. You don't know what love is. Do you know how a lost heart fears the thought of reminiscing? Lose their taste for kissing.
It's fascinating, too, that you wound up having such a great appreciation for this and not rebelling, which some people do, that they grow up with a certain kind of music and say, no, I'm going to go off and listen to the Rolling Stones or something. Did you listen to pop music a lot growing
up? Elvis Presley. Elvis comes to mind for several reasons. One being that when I was 18, I tried to imitate him and dislocated my knee very badly. And the second was that I was lucky enough to sit next to him at a dinner party that Frank Sinatra gave in Las Vegas when I was about 23, 24, something like that. It was right after he and Priscilla got married, and I had Frank on one side and Elvis on the other.
And
my father was there somewhere. I mean, he took me. I think he was sitting next to Priscilla.
Now that's impressive.
You know, listen, it knocks everybody out when I tell them that.
I'm just thinking of Elvis and Frank together. What were they like together?
I don't know. The reason for being in Las Vegas at all was that Nancy Sinatra was opening. She had a show, and Frank gave the party because of that. But I don't know. I mean, I think I was so agog that I was actually there sitting next to Elvis in a white satin suit. That...
This is great because everybody was wondering. They're looking at you, and they're thinking, that woman really has something.
Why is she allowed to be there?
No, it's perfect. I remember when I first got to know Count Basie and was introduced to Sarah Vaughan, and this was a big thrill for me. And I went to a sound check of a concert they were going to do. And I was, 24 or something like that. And Basie was in front of me and Sarah was behind me, and I was in the middle in this empty theater waiting for things to be set up. And someone ran in and took a picture of the three of us and ran out. And Basie looked at me and he said, "Who's the most important person in this picture?" And what was I going to say, Basie or her? Yeah. And I said, I don't know. He says, well, you are. I said, me? He said, well, everyone knows who I am, and everyone knows who she is. Uh-huh. And they're all going to be saying, who's that girl in the middle?
Do you have the photograph?
I do.
Oh, good.
But it's the same kind of thing. I'm sure
so
they're
funny.
All looking, who's that woman between?
And there's probably a
Elvis
photograph that exists of that, and I don't have it.
It's fantastic.
Oh, gosh.
That's very funny. Yeah. That's very funny.
The Sands is proud to present a wonderful new show, A Man and His Music. the music of Count Basie and his great band. And the man is Frank Sinatra.
How did all these people get in my room? Come fly with me, we'll fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on, fly with me, we'll fly away. Come fly with me, we'll float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute. For you, come on, fly with me. We'll float down in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you might hear all the angels cheer because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say those words, we'll beat those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come on, fly with me, we'll fly, we'll fly. And once I get you up there, where the air is so rarefied, we're gonna glide, absolutely petrified. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so awfully near, you might even hear a gang of angels cheer just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a groovy day. You just say that word and I'll beat your bird down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, and they do say, come on, fly with me, we'll fly, we'll fly. Pack up, let's fly away. And don't tell your papa.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I asked my guest, Ava Stermackenzie, about some of the surprising things that have happened when she's lectured on her father, Fred.
People ask questions, and sometimes not only the questions that are asked. I mean, I don't think I've told you this. I might have a really nice question. I was asked in the middle of Southeast Asia on a ship. A woman asked, who made my father's shoes? Or did he have them specially made? And I said, I knew he loved to buy shoes, but I wasn't aware that he had any specially made, but he must have. And another man in the audience raised his hand and said, I think I can help answer that question because my father made your father's shoes in London.
Wow. It was just
that chills down my spine. It was so lovely.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I've seen your presentation, which is so lovely. I just thought it was great.
You saw the one I did on Daddy and Bing,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which...
And it's just, it's so natural and so relaxed, and it seems so intimate. That's what's so lovely about it, is that as an audience member, you feel that you're there just talking to me about these are things that happened, which is really nice, and in your life, and you bring it across that way. And I would think with so many people that are such fanatic fans of your dad and know every single detail.
Much more than I know.
Well, more than anybody would, that because they're obsessed with it. I would think you would always be getting new information. It must be fascinating.
Always. It's absolutely incredible. There's one collector, for lack of a better word, who has not only a collection of memorabilia and things, but facts. And he keeps sending me information that is invaluable to me. And it's just wonderful. And a lot of that came about as a result of the London show, because people got in touch with me after that. It was great. Absolutely.
Did you take piano lessons or anything when you're... This is a bad subject.
Miss Chaudet, the piano teacher. Oh, I took as few as possible. I didn't. I don't even wish now that I'd gone on with it. I wish I'd danced, but
you didn't take dance lessons.
No, I was not pushed into it. And again, I wish I had been. That would have been really great. But no, thank you very much. You play the piano.
This is such a dangerous question, Ava, because people, of course, as they tell you about your dad, people come up and tell me all about their piano teachers, of course. So I hear the good and the bad. But every now and then someone has a reaction like that.
I don't think I really had any talent in the least towards it.
Oh, I don't know. I had a bad piano teacher, too. Oh. So I quit after a couple of years. So I know all about traumatic experiences with the piano. But no dancing lessons, no singing lessons, no.
Oh, and I mean, you don't even want to know about how I can't sing, how badly I can't sing. I mean,
maybe if you'd had lessons.
Well, Daddy did spend one entire summer. I was, again, about 14 or something. And he tried to teach me to just hit one note correctly. And I don't think I ever made it.
But he was patient with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's very
funny.
And
he was a wonderful father in every way, anyhow. But,
and it was good because he didn't push you into this.
No.
Those are the things that are bad. That's very funny. Very funny. You also spend a lot of time in London, and I know you like foggy day.
Actually, you don't get foggy days in London very much anymore, but it's a lovely song. But yes, we do spend a lot of time in London, and I have a flat in London, so it's even easier to spend a lot of time there. But it's interesting, though, you know, the fog, the whole London fog thing. I don't think I've seen a foggy day in London.
Is that true?
Well, it had to do with the burning of coal. It was fog and coal smoke getting together. A smoky day in London would have been more appropriate, probably.
Somehow it doesn't sound a smoggy day in London. It doesn't sound so good. And there's lots of jazz in London.
Oh,
so that's actually a place you can go out and hear some things, which is wonderful.
We go to Pete's on the Park. You play Pete's on the Park. I haven't seen you there.
You will.
Oh, I know. You were just there, but it was before we met. It was the day before we met, practically.
That's right.
And, of course, Steve Ross is there a lot. And Anne Hampton Calloway goes. A lot of people are based here do. It's a good, you like it as a venue?
I do like it. It's a great place. And before I played there, they had a lot of jazz musicians. It was more of a specifically jazz place, and then it became a specifically cabaret place, and they sort of mixed it up now.
Foggy day in London town, had me low and it had me down. I viewed the morning with alarm. British Museum had lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles hadn't passed, for suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town the sun was shining everywhere.
I'm thinking about you going around on all these cruise ships and going to these exotic places and getting to night after night play this fabulous music and then go home and have your life in Ireland. And I've seen that all in the book.
That's, I mean, that's it, to have the wonderful living right on the sea and all is really, really fabulous. And we've been very, very lucky to have been invited to do some of these cruises. So, yes.
This is just fantastic. I'm so glad you had the time that you were here and we were able to talk. This has just been lovely.
I am so glad, too. I'm just delighted to be talking to you.
It's great. And I have to mention, too, just on a personal note, that I was delighted when I found out that your dad played stride piano, because, of course, that's what I love.
Well, I mean, I wasn't really, until I met you, aware of it, and you were the one that told me that that's what he did. Now I look and I see, of course, I understand it, but I wouldn't have known that before.
Oh, it's great. Well, I'm pleased that I was able to introduce you to something. That's great. This has been lovely. Thank you so much for doing
you.
This. It's
thank
been great.
You.
Thank you. You've been listening to my conversation with Ava Astaire McKenzie. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Hydoff. You can download podcasts of Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired from all the usual podcast platforms or listen at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD, Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Paige at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Paige at 63 Main at opentable.com. And for more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com.